Heavenly Father, we come into your presence through your Son, Jesus, and we are forever thankful for you, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. It was finished. And we thank you, Father, that you open our eyes and give us understanding what happened and what you continually want to do in us and through us. We thank you for revelation today, just what we need. Just what we need, Father. We say we hear your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okie doke. We're in a series called Next Steps, and it's about grow and go. And the thing is, if you don't grow, you're not going to go, or not going to go too well. So we're talking about go and grow. And today, this is, like I said, the fourth week. I want to talk to you about a subject, and you're probably going to go, oh, fantastic, Pastor D, this is going to be so cool. Okay, today we're going to talk about baptisms, plural. Come on, go, oh, Pastor D, that's going to be so cool. Well, if you didn't do that, it's because, well, better yet, we're going to have understanding so that you'll figure out this really is a big deal about baptisms, plural, all right? So now you can go, oh, Pastor D, this is going to be so cool, all right? If you're taking notes, and no apologies, I got a lot of notes today. Alrighty, and if you can't get it, come and see me later. I have them all kind of typed up here. But if you're taking notes, point number one, ready? Write this down. Ready? It's time to grow. It is time to grow up spiritually. Everybody look at somebody and say, grow up. Yeah, it's time to grow up. So open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It's time to grow up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. This is Peter. You know, Peter, he's a character. So when he writes something, I'm like, oh, yeah, boy, I get it. Here we go. Like newborn babies. Everybody say babies. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow. Everybody say grow up. Yeah, so that you'll grow up into a full experience salvation, cry out for nourishment. Okay, what is he saying? He says, after you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, after you've done that, you should have this craving, not for chocolate, craving for nourishment. And the nourishment that you're going to crave is the Word of God. And he calls that milk. So after you receive Jesus and you have this craving and you get this nourishment, guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow up, all right? So you're going to grow up if you're craving and you have this nourishment, okay? And you grow up by feeding on it. And that's, so by the way, anybody ever had little babies in your house? I mean, like, babies, okay? When they are hungry, they turn beet red in the face, and what do? They let out cry. Why? Why are they crying? They're hungry. They want you to feed them nourishment, all righty? Now, if a baby doesn't grow, if a baby isn't eating, it's serious, okay? In fact, after you have a baby, you make all these appointments at the pediatrician. And what are they doing? What are they looking for when you go to the pediatrician, especially with this baby that's like, you know, they're looking to see if it's gained weight, right? They're looking, and they got their whole chart. It's always so fun. What percentile is your head? They're so funny. Okay. But really, they're looking to see if the baby grows. Now, let's suppose this baby in a six-month time hasn't gained any weight, hasn't grown, doesn't have an appetite. Guess what? It's serious. And they go to town trying to figure out what is going on. Well, listen, it is serious when a baby doesn't grow, and it is serious when Christians don't grow. Everybody say, it's serious. It really is, okay? Now, here's something interesting, though. I've been born again 10 years. Time, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Time doesn't mean you're going to grow. You're just a bunch of big babies. Okay, time doesn't mean you're going to grow, but grow comes when you are feeding, getting nourishment on the Word of God. Amen. So again, it is dangerous when babies don't grow. Now, in fact, just doing a little Googling here because I saw this once in an article. It said there are 10,000 children in 1 year in this nation that are getting poisoned. I know. I was like, what? Okay, now where I'm going to go with this is you mostly see this in impoverished areas, in areas where there's great poverty. You will see, this is where they find 10,000 children in this nation that are getting poisoned, okay, because they're eating rat poison. Oh, yeah. Don't Google now. Leave your fingers alone, unless you're taking notes. Okay, and the reason is they can't, they just don't know the difference between rat poison and food. Yeah, all right? And that's kind of like baby's natural thing. They just don't know, all righty? And you know what rat poison does to rats? Well, it doesn't do any better for babies, right? Doesn't do any babies. So it is so dangerous when you don't grow up spiritually. Well, y'all smiled at me this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to look at the ceiling fan. Just go preach it up there, okay? Okay. If you don't grow up spiritually, you'll start taking in, ingesting things that you should not, right? And because you don't have an understanding, you're not mature. Baby, 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 stick your head in gravy. What was that thing we said? Liz and I were doing things the other day. Okay, all right. Anyway. How many of you know this? Babies will put anything in their mouth, in their nose, in their ears. How many of you have been to the ER because of that? Well, this happened probably about 8 years ago. I'm at the beach, Jersey. I have to tell you, I was at the Jersey Shore with one of my daughters, and all of a sudden I hear this mother. Now, I'm in Jersey, the Jersey Shore, and all of a sudden I hear this mother yelling, "Don't eat the caca! Don't eat the caca!" Now, if you're from Jersey, that is a Jewish mama. And she's, because this 1.5-year-old is eating sand, just pounding sand. Don't eat the caca! Don't eat the caca! I am on the floor, just hysterical laughing, all right? And my daughter Joy was like, what is she? You had to be from Jersey. But babies will put anything into their mouth, right? Y'all been there? Anything, okay? Because they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between rat poison and steak, okay? They don't have a reference. So here's the deal. Spiritual babies and natural babies. Spiritual babies and natural babies, if they don't have a reference, they'll just put stuff in their mouth. They won't know right from wrong. Spiritual babies don't know right from wrong. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 is written by the Apostle Paul. Brilliant guy. And he is, and we're talking about spiritually growing up, okay? He is talking to Jews that have received Jesus, okay? They're Jewish Christians or whatever, they Messianic Jews we call them now, okay? So he's talking to them, and now we're talking about spiritually growing up. Listen to what he says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He's talking to believers. You have been believers so long. Well, I did a little Googling. You know what that so long is? Not 100 years. Not 10 years. Between 5 and 7 years, all right? So he says, y'all have been believers so long, 5 to 7 years, you ought to be teaching others now. Right? You ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again, the basic things about God. The basic things are called the elementary truths, all right? Everybody say elementary school. All right. So today, everything you hear today is going to be elementary school. So you can't say, Pastor D, that's what they used to say, Jack. He's so way over my head. Oh, no, Bubba. Today, everything is elementary truths, elementary school. All right. So you have been, you who have been believers so long, now you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic, the elementary truths about God's word. You are like, wah, wah, wah. You are like babies. I didn't write this. Okay, I just do the sound effects. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Verse 13, for someone who lives on milk, wah, 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 is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is, what's that word? Right. Solid food are for those who are mature through training. Everybody say training. Through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So, spiritual babies and natural babies. They don't know the difference between right or wrong, right? They're packed, get the caca out of your mouth, all right? Spiritual babies don't know the difference between right or wrong, all righty? Now, you, in Jesus' name, you don't have to tell a grown-up, don't eat the rat poison. Right? You're not running around chasing them, and they see the in the corner, and they're like, oh, should I try that? Should I test it out? No, grow up, right? Grow up and know the difference between rat and wrong. No, that's rat poison, right? It's rat poison. So spiritual growth is critical, and maturity gives you the skill to know right from wrong. I'm talking about spiritually growing up. Now, if you're not a believer, this, you know, if people aren't a believer, I get it. But I'm talking to Christians now, and this is what I find out. So many Christians today, all right, they don't know the difference between right or wrong. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Well, put your seatbelts on, all right? And I'm not condemning anybody, but so many Christians don't know the difference between right and wrong, okay? And the reason is, they're babies. Okay, I'll be nicer. They lack a depth in their spiritual growth, all right? They just lack growth, all right? Now, if they're spiritual babies, but I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Thumbs up. But you know what? You need to grow up so you know the difference between right and wrong. So Christians today, people who love Jesus, Christians today, they love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus, okay? And they're dating, and they're having sex before marriage, and they're living together. Oh, God understands, Pastor. Listen, I've had people come to me. Seriously, I'm going to look at the ceiling. Here we go. I've had people come to me. You're not here today. Okay, and they're like, Pastor D, no sex before marriage? How am I going to know if we're compatible? That is the dumbest question I have heard. Every week I hear another one, though. But today, that is the, how am I going to know if we're sexually compatible? Compatible, yeah. Okay, well, listen, sexually compatible has nothing to do with sexual gymnastics, okay? Sexual compatibility is intimate love and a relationship, okay? And just a hint, if you ain't got that, you ain't getting that. It gets ugly, right? All right, okay. But Pastor D, I have to know if we're sexually compatible, okay? Listen, it ain't hard to figure out, right? You all look at the ceiling, don't look at me, okay? Listen, if you love someone, you have an intimate love and a relationship, okay, you'll figure it out, right? Pastor D, yeah, but you know, I don't know. Listen, sexual gymnastics you think you got to do? Okay, I got news. There's a bunch of old folks in here, and they're doing really good. They got intimacy, okay? That's so gross, Pastor D. I've got this in my head now. Okay, listen. All right, somebody else. Look at ceiling. Abraham and Sarah. How old were they when they popped out that baby? We weren't doing sexual gymnastics. There was love and intimacy. Okay, I can't look at you anymore. So Christians today struggle in a lot of ways, okay? Christians today are struggling in gender. Christians today struggle in their thoughts, like, you know, I had this thought. I know who I am, but I had this thought. Well, listen, you shouldn't have your own thoughts. You ought to have Jesus' thoughts, and that'll make sure you're doing good, right? All right? Christians today, they struggle with porn. What's the big deal, Pastor? Well, you know, it changes your brain chemistry, for real. It'll just destroy your marriage, all righty? And it gives you a false sense of intimacy. Yeah, but it's no big deal, Pastor D. What are you kidding me? Yeah, unless you want to be married and stay married and have relationships, okay? And this, listen to this. I've had people come into my office and say, well, you know, Pastor D, it's not that bad. We bring porn into our marriage. It just spices it up. Okay? Yeah. Christians, okay, we struggle in lots of areas. I just hit some of the hot topics, okay? We struggle in lots of areas, okay? And this is what Christians have done. Okay, with these issues and other issues, okay, this is what they've done. They start guilt tripping you, condemning you, okay, condemning you, and they're trying to train you, listen to this, in right and wrong by condemning you. Don't do this. Do this list. Don't do that list. Don't do this, okay? They're trying to condemn you. Been there and done it, okay? But here's the thing, okay? We want people to grow up spiritually so that they would recognize then, okay, oh, this is how to have a godly marriage. This is how to have intimate sex. This is how to do this, okay? So we don't want to condemn people, but we want to train them so they'll grow. And when you grow up, you will know the difference between right and wrong. And you don't need the don't list and the do list. Guys, people are under attack. Christians are under attack, okay? And they'll fight for healthy, okay? But they'll fight, they don't need to be fighting you, all right? How about this? No matter what your problem is, no matter what your issue is, okay, whether you're spiritually an infancy, you know, spiritual baby, or you're just under attack in some of these issues in life, okay? The church ought to be the place. This church, all churches, Christians ought to be the place where you can come and you'll find help, not people, okay? Say, that's our church, Pastor D. Yeah, all righty, all right. No guilt, no condemnation. The answer is growing up spiritually. And you grow up spiritually when you crave the Word of God, when you're and you will know. Okay, I was so dumb for a long time. Yeah. Dumb before I got saved, dumb after I got saved, but got smarter after I got into the Word of God, all right? So we're going to grow up spiritually. Amen? Amen. Switching subjects, second gear, here we go. Jack and I have friends, Jack's in heaven, he's got friends up there. Okay, we have friends that are missionaries in Africa, all right? And they said desserts. In Africa, any nation in Africa, anywhere you go in Africa, desserts, they don't put sugar in them. I know. And if you're from down south, you all with that sweet tea makes my fillings rattle. I mean, like not a cup. You're like the whole bag, the 5-pound bag of sugar into the tea, right? So my friend was saying, and he was just given, he lived in South Africa for a while and then these different countries. He said, no sugar. He says, I just crave sugar. I crave sugar. Oh, man, I want sugar. So if you're taking notes, this is really important. Write this down. They'll pop it up on the screen there. Ready? The status of your spiritual life, okay, the status of your spiritual life will be determined by the cravings that you feed, okay? The status of my spiritual life will be determined by what I crave and I feed, all righty? Now, so it will be determined that the status and how I'm going to come out of a baby and grow up to be mature is what I'm ingesting. What I feed on, that determines baby, elementary, mature, righty? Now, that is why we said week number one, Joe Basic, you need to daily spend time in the Word of God, daily, not your 30-second app, okay, and daily, all right. And some days, I get up early in the morning and I read and I have a great time. One day it was just machine gun, machine gun, machine gun. And the daily in the morning didn't take me to the night. So after, I didn't even do the dishes. Of course, I'm only one person, so there's only one dish down there, okay? But I just whipped out my Bible and I was just like, God, I'm feeding, okay? So guys, it's time to graduate out of elementary school. It's time to grow up, right? Now, chapter 5 of Hebrews, Paul said that. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up spiritually. Now listen to what he says in chapter 6. So flip over, open up your Bibles to chapter 6. He's telling you what elementary school is, all right? Now, in elementary school, reading, writing, arithmetic, all right? He's going to just tell you the real, they don't do calculus, okay? Elementary school. He's going to tell us what elementary school is. Ready? Here we go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore leaving, everybody say leaving. Therefore leaving the principles, the elementary school, the elementary truths, okay? Leaving the elementary truths of the doctrine of Christ. Okay, what's the doctrine of Christ? The doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of Jesus. Well, you know, Pastor D, I don't know if I agree with all of him. I don't agree with all the stuff he says. Well, you know, I don't mean to be sorry, but if Jesus comes up to your face and he goes, you know, I'm the Son of God, I died for you, and these are my doctrines, okay, and you're like, well, I don't really know if I just agree with all of them. Well, you better change. You made a bad choice, all right? All right, so let's read that again. Therefore, leaving the principles, the elementary truths of the doctrine of Christ, which really is the milk of the Word of God, let us go on to perfection, aka let us grow up, let us be mature, all right? Or let's start digging into solid food and not laying again the foundation. All right, chapter 5, he just said, by this time you should be teaching others, but I've got to lay this foundation again, all righty? So now, Paul is going to give us six things that qualify for the foundation, six things that are really just elementary school, six things that are elementary principles, okay, of the doctrine of Christ or the milk. They're just elementary, all right? Now, that means everything that I'm going to say is preschool for every Christian. This is preschool. That means you be doing it, right? This is just preschool stuff, okay? Here he goes. He says, the first one, this is what Jesus' doctrines are. Ready? The doctrine of the repentance of dead works. Then you have the doctrine of faith towards God. Then you have the doctrine of baptisms, plural, which we're going to talk about. There's three of them. The doctrine of laying on of hands, basic. The doctrine of resurrection from the dead, basic. The doctrine of eternal judgment, basic. And he says if you have those six things as your foundation, guess what? You are going to grow. You're going to be mature, okay? If you don't, you can't be mature, all right? Now, so you can't be mature unless you know these, and not head knowledge. I mean, like they're working in your life. You're like, yeah, I know this. I got this. It's flowing out of me, all right? Second point, here we go. If you're taking notes, we're going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms, all right? So what does it mean to be baptized? What does it mean? But what does baptism mean? If you're taking notes, real simple, to be fully immersed. Everybody say fully immersed. Baptisms, that word baptism means to be fully immersed. Let me give you an example. I grew up with an older brother and a younger brother. And my older brother would try to drown my younger brother, Pat. Anybody have an older brother try to do that? This is what it looked like. Pat wasn't quite a swimmer, and Johnny would just hold him under, You see bubbles. And then he'd let him up, and Pat would take a breath. And then he'd hold him down. Guys, fully immersed. You got a picture? Fully immersed, all right? So if you want to write this down, the primary purpose for the doctrine of baptisms, okay, is really simple, that you be fully immersed, right, in Christ, in his power, in his mission, in his purpose for your life. Be fully immersed. That's what this is all about, being fully immersed, all right? So the doctrines of baptisms, okay, they're actually threefold way that you can become fully immersed in the power of God, the passion, the mission of Jesus for your life. Now, this is not just for pastors to be fully immersed. This is for y'all. Everybody say all. Yeah, it's for all right? So, third point, we're going to go over three of these baptisms, okay? If you're taking notes, the first one, and I'm going to say this again, this is always first, okay? This is first. First one is the being baptized into Christ, okay? Baptized into Christ. This is not water baptism. That's second. This is first. Every Christian, baptized in Christ, okay? So baptized in Christ means immersed, okay, I'm not going up and down here, into the right standing of God, being immersed, just saturated, being immersed in righteousness, all right? Now, when you have this baptism, these are kind of words that come out of your mouth, like, oh, I've been saved of my sins. Okay, how about this one? I've given my life to Christ. Or I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That is being baptized into Christ. All right. Now, it is not referring to being water baptized. That's number two. Ready? The baptized into Christ is to be immersed into Him. It's immersed into Jesus and what He did to you. So when you're immersed into Him, okay, that means it causes you to have right standing with God. So what does it mean to be right standing with God? Good, I got some things ready. What does it mean to be righteous? Here we go. Right standing with God. They'll pop that on the screen. The ability to stand in the presence of a holy God. Okay, now watch this. Without a sense of guilt, weakness, or inferiority. And then Paul, in Hebrews chapter 4, just tweaks the definition. And you probably have heard this before. Ready? Righteousness. The ability to go boldly into the throne of grace, right? To go and to obtain mercy and grace and help in time of need. All of that is right standing with God. When you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you get immersed and you are now righteous, righteous standing. Now, the problem is people who get in trouble, sometimes we get in trouble, you know, okay, and they go in to pray. These are Christians, you know, they muff up, and they go in to pray. This is what they'll say: God, I'm sorry, I don't know if I even belong here. God, just one time, can you help me? God, you know, I make so many mistakes. God, I know I'm not really good enough. God, just maybe this one time, God, can you just help me? I have just described baby spiritual baby, because they don't understand the day you asked Jesus Christ into your life, you had right standing with God. Say, no babies in this place, right, Pastor D? Yeah, no babies in this place. Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all right? If you're a spiritual baby, you'll pray like that. If you're a spiritual baby, you don't understand righteousness. You don't understand, and you start thinking, I have to earn to come into the presence of God. You can't earn to come in the presence of God, okay? It's a gift, and there is actually an exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus, when he died, he took this exchange, my sin for his righteousness. Wow. Who got the best end of the stick? I did. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, all right? So God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when the person who gets it, when you read that and you get that, you're like, that you understand, I can't erase, I can't eradicate my sin. And guess what? Everybody's sin, no exclusions. Everybody's been sin-stained. Nobody can say that, all right? So when sin touched my life, okay, it became impossible for me to go into the presence of God, because God is a holy God, okay? And he can't have sin. He loves you, but he can't have sin. That's how holy he is, all right? So you cannot, because of the darkness, sin, go into his presence. So God has judged all of us, me, all of us, guilty. But, all right, but then God in his mercy said, listen, I have judged you, but now I will send my son in the body of a human born of a virgin. All right, for one reason, okay? So he can hang on a cross, he can take your sin debt, he can take my sin debt, and he can exchange it so that I can be right with him. It is glorious. Amen, it is, all right. So, all have sinned. I have sinned, I'm sin-stained. God says you're guilty, but he said, listen, I am going to exchange the debt and the crime and the sin, and I'm going to exchange it for my righteousness, the Christ righteousness, all right? Guess how many times you have to do this? Once. You receive Jesus once, and once you are made righteous forever. He'll never leave you or forsake it. Once. So you don't have to do that, oh, Lord, I really muffed up. I don't even know if you want me in this place. No, I've been made righteous. I still go and tell him, God, I really blew it. And he's like, yeah, I know, honey, I watched it. Okay, and I'm sorry, you're forgiven, you're righteous, ta-da. All righty, praise God. Galatians, here's another one. Galatians 3:26. Oh, I love this. I say that about every scripture. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. All right, so baptized into Christ. I'm now immersed in him, okay? There was this exchange. Listen to what happens next. You are now all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ, listen, he uses a new word, have been clothed in him, all right? You have been clothed in him. I bet my duds look good. I have been clothed with him, all right? So when you receive Jesus Christ, you're immersed or you're clothed in his righteousness. Praise God. So first baptism, right? First baptism, you give your life to Jesus, right? You're baptized into him, and now you're in right standing with him. Second baptism, if you're taking notes, this one y'all familiar with, baptism in water, right? Baptism in water, okay? And that means, okay, and I'm going to stretch a little bit. We're talking about being immersed. This one means I'm baptized. I'm immersed in the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm immersed in the lordship, all right? So what is baptism? It's an outward sign of an inward working, right? If you want to write that down, outward sign of inward working, all right? Now, the first baptism we just went over, baptized in Christ, right? There's a change there's a change on the inside. My first baptism, whoo, okay, sin is gone, right? Okay, I've become a child of God. God loves me. I'm now called sons and daughters of the Most High God, all right? I'm now his. I'm his own, okay? This second baptism can't happen. Well, I've seen people do it, but shouldn't. This second baptism can't happen until you do the first. First, you become immersed in Christ. You're born again, all right? So the second baptism is when you're standing at the pool and you're all dry, right? And then you go under. You're immersed all the way under, okay? And it's symbolic. Now you are in clothed, and now you are immersed in Christ, brand new, all right? But, and this is not me, the scriptures say, this you are commanded, I love commanding, but this I didn't do. You are commanded to do this water baptism once you do baptism one. Once you're baptized in Christ, you are commanded to be water baptized, and it's supposed to be public. Everybody yell, public. Yeah. Okay. Public. Jesus commanded this, all righty? Open up to Mark chapter 16. You all know this scripture, okay? Jesus, it's red letter, praise the Lord. Jesus is talking right before, so he's died on the cross, he's risen, and he's walking around for 40 days on the planet. Okay, this is right before he's going to be ascended into heaven and sit at the Father's right hand. This is Jesus. Mark 16, verse 15. And then he told them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. Okay, the good news is what I just shared. It's being baptized into Christ. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. And anyone who believes and is baptized in Christ will be saved. Anyone who refuses will be condemned. So listen, what, you know, if I'm not baptized in water, you mean I'm not saved? That's not what he's talking about here. You got to look up your words. He's saying anyone who believes is baptized in Christ, okay, they're saved. Anybody who doesn't believe, they're already condemned. Amen. Okay, moving along, happy places. Why water baptism? Why water baptism? All righty. The Apostle Paul, before he gave his life to Jesus, all right, he was a part of the Jewish ruling council. Like, he was bigwig, super smart, in charge. He's up there, you know, it's like, aside from the high priest. He was in the ruling council of the Jews, right? And he's running around persecuting Jews, locking them up, and hopefully putting, you know, in prison and all that stuff. And he has the authority of the ruling Jewish council to go try to round up and arrest anybody who's a Christian. Okay, he's persecuting them. He hates Christians. That's what he's running around doing. Matter of fact, he was called Saul at that time. He was present, and because he was present, I have to say, this God spoke to me. Okay, let me say this first, and then I'll back up. So he was present and gave consent to the first martyr, and that was Stephen. I remember saying this to my kids. Really, I remember my dad saying to them this, and of course I said it to my kids. Oh, well, I didn't do it. You are present. You gave consent. Tell your kids. Okay. He was present, therefore he gave consent for the murder of Stephen. All right. So, moving right along. So, he's done that, and then he's running around the whole region. He's trying to find more Christians, trying to persecute them, trying to put them in prison and ultimately have them killed. And then he has this crazy experience on the road to Damascus, right? Everybody know about that? All right, he has this, and the glory of God, it says, shone, so bright that he was blinded by the light. I think there's a song about that, right? He was blinded by the light. He couldn't see, right? And then he's blinded. He's on his back, and he's blinded by the light. And then there's this voice that came from heaven, right? And he heard it, and all the people around him heard this voice come from heaven. Wouldn't that change your day? Right? Okay, so this voice is coming from heaven, okay? And the voice says, hey, I want you to go to the city, and you'll be told what to do. So Paul goes, who are you, Lord? And the Lord answers him. He says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. And I want to tell you, God takes it personal when things happen to you. You are not forgotten. Just write that down. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Okay? No, God takes it personal about your life. Praise God. Right? So anyway, he's still blinded. He goes to the city, and there's a man named Ananias. Ananias, did I say that right? I know. Big A. Okay. Some of those Hebrew names. Dear, praise God. Okay. And listen, he's just a Joe Schmo disciple of Jesus. He's not the biggie apostle. He's a disciple of Jesus, all right? And Jesus speaks to him, Ananias, and he says, I want you to go and get Paul, and you're to take him and do this. And you know what Ananias and Big A says? Oh, no way. Are you kidding me? He's out killing people, like Christians. Put him in. I'm not going. No, I'm not. Nope, 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 nope. And finally he says, okay, Jesus, because Jesus says you need to go. So Ananias finds Saul, okay, and he's having this conversation, and we'll get into it. So open up to Acts chapter 22 because we're going to get there. But he's having this conversation, okay, and he actually calls him Ananias. He must have really listened to Jesus. He goes, Brother Saul, not persecutor, killer, murderer. So he must have listened to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. You change your vocabulary, all right? So he says, Brother Saul, all righty. And now Saul, he's born again then. He's received Jesus. He got immersed, okay? But he doesn't know his elbow from his knee. He's just a newbie, all right? So this is what happens. Praise God. Acts 22, verse 14. Then Ananias said to Paul, The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will. By the way, that's for all of us. God has promises for you too. Ready? The God of our Father has chosen you to know his will and see the righteous one, that's Jesus, and hear words from his mouth. Every time you open this up, you can see and you can hear words from his mouth. Right? Right? Okay. You will be my witness to all men. That's our calling too. Of what you have seen and what you heard. Now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized and washed your sins away, calling on his name. So he's saying, hey, listen, Paul, what are you doing? Come on, it's time. Go get baptized, all right? Go get baptized. So why would he say, go get baptized? What's the significance? What's so big about being water baptized? After you've been baptized into Christ, what's the big deal, all right? Well, the nation that we live in, I really believe there is probably more persecution to Christians than in our whole history. Yeah, that's just my opinion, okay? But ain't peanuts compared to other nations, right? Talk about persecution and the persecution of Paul's day, all right? Because when a Jew converted to Christ, all right, and, you know, was baptized into Christ, when a Jew converted to Christ, okay, and they made a public declaration, publicly got water baptized, guess what? You're kicked out of the church, okay? And church wasn't just a place you show up on Sunday back then, okay? Church was your whole life. It was your social and it was economical. So all your connections in church, you got kicked out. It's kind of like the Amish. Sorry, you know how I think about that. I don't know, just thinking about that. Okay, so he gets kicked out of church, okay, because he's received Jesus. And when you do that, you lose your job, you lose everything. You lose everything because you're now a Christian, alrighty? So when Paul decides that he's going to go get water baptized, okay, now he's not just any old person that's a Christian. He's of the ruling council, all right? He knows when I do this, it's one thing to, you know, pray the prayer and be immersed and get born again and, you know, and have right standing. But it's a whole different story when you publicly get water baptized. He knows his life isn't worth 10 cents and that they're going to go after him, right? They know he's going to be marked. He's going to be marked, all right? So Paul, in essence, is saying, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, and I will live for you, and I will die for you, and I really might die for you, because I now am going to stand before everybody and get water baptized, all right? So water baptism is being immersed into Jesus, okay? It's something you do publicly. It's being, Jesus, be my Lord. Now, yeah, Pastor D, I don't want my messing up my hair and getting water baptized. I have heard that. Yeah, ladies, really, okay? I don't know if I really need to be water baptized. Pastor D, I don't know if I really need to. Okay, that's like telling a baby you don't need to drink a bottle. Come on, all right? Everybody say, Jesus commanded you to be baptized. Water baptized, okay? All right, command it. So what is it, this command means you're just going to obey him, right? O-B-E-Y, that's why. All right, so here we go. I don't know if I feel like it, okay? It has nothing to do with feels. It has everything. He commanded you, and you're going to obey, okay? And the same thing, this is what I'd say to you. What are you kidding? Come on, let's do it. Okay, so if you first have been baptized into Jesus and you want to get water baptized, you let us know. We'll make it happen. Publicly, amen? All right, so what does lordship mean? My kids growing up would say this to one another. You're not the boss of my life, right? They'd say that to each other, especially Sherry because she was the oldest and she was bossing them around. Who made you the boss of my life? Anybody ever? Okay, now they never said that to Jack and I. They may have thought that, and their eyeballs might have rolled in the back of their head, but praise God they didn't say that, right? But they might have been thinking that, right? You're not the boss of my life, okay? Praise God. Lordship is when you say, Jesus, you are the boss of my life. So if he just commanded you to do something, you're the boss. You're the boss, okay? Spiritual children are like natural children. You're not the boss of me, Jesus. Yes, he is, okay? Well, I don't feel like it. No, he's the boss, okay? Okay. Water baptism was you're immersed into Jesus. It's when you say you are the Lord, you are the boss. Let me tell you one other story. We support a ministry for years, Dudamis World Ministry, Christopher Alam. Anybody know Christopher Alam? He hasn't spoken here in a long time, mostly because I send him to big churches and we just support him, okay? So Christopher Alam, I went looking. I had his testimony book. Do you have one of those? Sherry has one of those. They might even have in the bookstore. Christopher Alam, right? Now, when Christopher, by the way, his name is Muhammad Alam. Okay, he grew up in Pakistan, but when Christopher gave his life to Jesus, he changed his name to Christopher, not Muhammad. His dad was a general in Pakistan. Okay, that's equivalent in our nation to like a 4-star general. Okay, he was probably one of the most prominent men in the nation of Pakistan, his dad. And his mother, she was a member of parliament, okay? Yeah, it's pretty amazing there, okay? And Christopher writes in this book, I've never had a conversation, but they say that they were descendants of Muhammad. That's a big deal. That's a big deal if you're Islam, right? Okay? So Christopher gives his life to Jesus, and his father immediately, the general, has him arrested, and he's thrown into jail for 1 year. His dad's thinking, I'm going to put you in there, boy, and then just clean out all that stupid stuff in your head. 1 year in jail by your dad, okay? So he goes in jail for 1 year. When he gets out, he said, I am more committed to Jesus Christ than when I went in. And I'm pretty sure they weren't giving him a Bible to read while he's in there, right? Really? Okay? Okay, so he gets out, and then he finds this sort of what we would call an underground church. He starts going to this underground church, and he reads the scriptures, and he wants to be water baptized. Now, he says, this isn't the Bible, but this is how he felt. He said, I felt like I couldn't receive communion. This isn't the Bible. He says, I felt like I couldn't receive communion until I got water baptized. Again, that's not in the Bible, but that's what he felt. So he goes to his group and he says, I want to get water baptized. I want to get water baptized. Now, why wouldn't anybody water baptize him? Okay, well, one, it's public. You're probably going to get killed. And then if I water baptize you, I'm going to get killed. So nobody in his church would water baptize him. And he says, I'm so sad. I go over and over, Lord God, I just want to be water baptized. I want to be water baptized. Well, there's this missionary from the United States, or guy from the United States that would go in and out of this group in Pakistan, the underground church. And he hears the cry of Christopher, and he says, "Christopher, I will water baptize you." And Christopher says, "Oh, no, listen, if I get water baptized, they're probably going to kill me. But if you get water baptized, they're going to kill you." And this gentleman said, "You are not my Lord, and my Lord said to baptize you." You better hear, okay? So he gets water baptized, and he shortly after, he escapes and goes to Sweden, meets Britta, his wife, and he has asylum in there. In the book, it says, within 3 weeks, that gentleman who water baptized him was murdered. I'd rather obey my Lord. Amen? So, water baptism is when you publicly say, "The culture is not my Lord. The nonsense on TV is not my Lord. Okay, Hollywood is not my Lord. Politics aren't my Lord. The Democratic or the Republican Party is not my Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord." Amen? And as my kids would say, you're the boss. Okay, here's our last one. We can do this. Last one, okay? That's what water baptism is, all right? Jesus is Lord. Third one, last one. Baptism, or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Write that down, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Okay, again, immersion, full immersion, being baptized into the power of God. Write it down. Being immersed into the power of God. Matthew chapter 3, this is John, okay? John the Baptist, he's baptizing people in the River Jordan. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He," everybody say he. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire," okay? So as Jesus is getting ready to be ascended in heaven, he says, "I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three personalities, one God. "I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit," all right? I will. Everybody say, "I will." He will, all right? Now, if I could tell you, I should have counted, how many times people would say to me, "Listen, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing, Pastor D. I just don't know. I don't want to get into that thing." It's not a thing. It's God the Holy Spirit. It's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. Kind of reminds me what's, anyway, don't go there. Okay. So Jesus says, "I will immerse you in the Holy Spirit," the person of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, Acts, turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. One of the last things Jesus said, okay, after he was resurrected and before he's going to ascend to heaven, one of the last things he says, okay, it's recorded, red letter, this is Jesus. Listen to what it says. "But you will receive power." Everybody say power. Power. I like power. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," which includes today, okay? Now, most people, when you say, you know, the Holy Spirit, they think this is like this divine wind. Whoosh. It's not, okay? This is God, the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will be your counselor. The Holy Spirit will be your peace. The Holy Spirit will be your standby. The Holy Spirit will be your intercessor. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher, your counselor. The Holy Spirit will just guide you and show you things to come. Wouldn't that be grand, right? The Holy Spirit, that's what he does when he comes, okay? Now, one of the most amazing things in my life was being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then there's sort of this, there is this supernatural thing that you have the gift of tongues. Tongues. Everybody say tongues. Okay. The prayer language of tongues, okay? And, you know, it's so funny. Let me say, we're going to read one more scripture. Just flip over to Acts chapter 2. As soon as you talk about this prayer language in tongues, okay, we're going to see what it did to the church. But people struggle with this next Acts chapter 2. They're like, can I just encourage you, if you want to struggle with anything in life, struggle with sin, not with God. Just go, okay, God. Okay, you said it, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go. So in Acts chapter 1, they're all together. You know, he told them the promise. Well, here it comes. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Whoa, that must have been incredible. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, as soon as I mention to people speaking in tongues, they're like, oh, you're the ones that hang from chandeliers and play with snakes, you know, you're that bunch.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's right, okay. And I thought that a long time there. But, you know, if you do that, they just really don't have a concept of what was going to happen, all right? So when you pray in other tongues, okay, the spirit bypasses your brain, okay, Romans says, you know, sometimes life can get hard, you know, like everything just blows up from every end, and you just ran out of words, you don't even know what to pray. Anybody have life so hard that you just can't even figure out what to pray, okay? But I start praying in the Holy Spirit, right? So when you don't know what to pray and you have the Holy Spirit, you shift gears and he'll pray what you don't know to pray. The Bible says you'll pray divine secrets that God wants you to be praying, all right? Okay? He'll make intercession, all right, with these words that you don't get, divine secrets, all right? Well, Pastor D, why don't you do that for us right now? Because I'm not talking to you. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, there is a time for this in public, but this prayer language, which I do probably about 70% of the time when I'm praying, just having a prayer time, this is for me, okay? And I'm going to just pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray divine secrets, and it's going to come out of here, and it bypasses my brain. And that's what every believer, elementary school, basics. For every believer, you need it, right? Well, I don't know if I want that tongue thing. Well, you don't receive tongues, you receive the Holy Spirit, and the tongue thing comes with it. I'm going to receive. What did Brother Hagin say? The shoe has a tongue? Something like that. Anyway, so cute. All right. Praise God. All right. These are three amazing baptisms. Baptism to be immersed in Christ, okay, into his righteousness. The baptism of water to be immersed into the Lord. You are the boss. And this one, this last one is to be immersed into the power of God. Devil's nasty out there. You think you might need a little more power? Yeah. Yeah, so bow your head, close your eyes. I want to pray for you. I want to ask a question. Wonderful to be water baptized. If you have done baptism one and you want to do baptism one water, you let us know. Talk to Pastor Sherry. Talk to Liz because I'll be busy running around here. All right? All right? But listen, first, baptism in him, right? First, being baptized, receiving Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, if you haven't received Jesus, been baptized into Jesus Christ, you're still sin-stained. That's what the Bible says, for all have sinned, all right? And I don't know anybody who hasn't sinned. And if they say that, they're a liar and they're a sinner, right? So everybody has sinned. Everybody's sin-stained. And you can't erase your sin stain, okay? But praise God for the mercy of God that after he judged me guilty, he says, but I will come and in the body of Jesus, and he will take your sin, and he will take your sin debt, and he will erase it, eradicate it, and he will give you his righteousness. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ, received him as your Lord and Savior, or you're just not sure, I'd like to pray with you. Okay, I'd like to pray for you. Now, I'm not asking you if you go to church. I love when people go to church. I'm not asking you, okay? But no church, no pastor, no doctrine, no sacrament, no denomination will make you right with God. Only by acknowledging that Jesus was the gift sent, right? And asking him, he comes by invitation, asking him to come into your life, okay? And he says he turns nobody away. And then he says, you'll become my child, okay? And all the things he did, you. So if that's you and you would like to invite Jesus Christ into your life, or you're just like, you know, I'm not really sure, but today, Pastor, I want to know. I want to receive this Jesus. I want to know. I want to pray with you. And all you have to do is just pray this out loud, okay? Pray it from your heart, okay? Pray it from your heart. And the rest of us that have done this, we're going to pray this with you. Isn't that great to have people praying it with you? So everybody with their eyes closed, heads bowed, say this after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross, and he took my punishment. Praise God. He paid the debt for my sin. He satisfied the wrath that was against me. He did it for me. Amen. He was buried in my place, okay, and he conquered death. He did it for me. Jesus, right now, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. You're the boss of my life. I thank you for coming into my life. And I thank you now that heaven is my final destination. I was like my forever home. Amen. Because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. Amen. If you would like to just, how do I do this? So one, if you've received Jesus today and you've never gotten a Bible, I've got altar ministers up front here. We've got Bibles and material. If you have received Jesus, immersed in him, and you'd like to be water baptized, come up and see my gang. We'll figure it out. I promise you won't be in ice cubes. And the power one, if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come up. We will pray with you. It's a free gift, all right? Stand up, everybody. Everybody say, Jesus is my Lord. And I'm going to tell everybody. Amen. Have a wonderful week. We love you.